The Extra Mile Podcast. Welcome to the Extra Mile Podcast. In this podcast, we follow the progress of fellow runners across the globe as they train for 5Ks, 10Ks, half or full marathons. Visit our website at www.theextramilepodcast.com and send us your email or audio files at theextramilepodcast@gmail.com.
Well, hello, and welcome to episode 214 of the Extra Mile Podcast. How's everyone doing? This is Kevin, your host, and I'm out on a early morning walk. Not a cloud in the sky, and other than Kale's down in Australia, the weather, I think, where most of us are, has really turned even from warm to rather hot. And all I can say is I would much rather put up with the heat than the cold. And it's gotten so hot, actually, that even on my early morning walks, I've started to take my squish band with me. It's a staple when I head out on my runs later in the afternoon, but now I've even needed to carry it with me on my walks. But that's okay, because I have several of them, and you should too. So my training, well, I'm out walking, and I definitely count that as my training because it's more or less for training for life. And I do an early morning walk 7 days a week. Now, I suppose I've missed a few in the last couple of years, but the only time I can remember actually missing one is getting up really early to head out of town for vacation. We recently spent a week watching it rain at the Jersey Shore, and left the house at about 5 o'clock in the morning. So I wasn't gonna do it then, but I still got my steps in once we got there. And so anyway, it's usually a 4 mile walk early in the morning. This morning, somebody scheduled a meeting for me on my day job at 8:15, I think the meeting was. And so I wasn't able to get the full. I got a couple miles in, and I'm back out for a couple more miles. Let's see, what else? My running is 4 to 5 days a week. It is much slower, and the ratios are adjusted for this heat. This stuff is, it's no joke, so be careful with it. Typically, my runs have been 5 miles, but in this heat, some of them have been 3 and 4. In fact, I've had more 3 and 4 than I had 5 mile runs. And my ratios have changed too. My go-to ratio, I think, is probably either a 30-30 or a 30-40. But in this heat, honestly, I've done some gwinning. I've reversed. Instead of a 40-30, I'll do a 30-40. But anyway, much slower. But who cares? I'm still getting out. I'm still fighting about 6 pounds that I put on during the winter time, and they're coming off just slowly. But that's okay. Lifting, I've been doing pretty good lifting. I think for quite a while my lifting's been at 3 days a week. Missed that week at the Jersey Shore, but anyway, consistency. get your butt out of bed and take a little walk in the morning. And if you're consistent with it, I think you'll find that after a few weeks that it's second nature. When your eyes pop open in the morning, your feet just automatically hit the floor and you grab your stuff and head out the door. Take a cup of coffee with you if you're a coffee drinker like I am. You're not setting any land speed records. Anyway, that's what my training has been up to. I will say at the beginning of this episode, you will hear some stuff about the Bird in Hand Extra Mile Meetup in September this year. And I am rather doubtful I will make it this year. I don't think this year's Bird in Hand is in my future. Just got some life things that are getting in the way. And the other thing, I'll be perfectly honest, is that my body is pretty much telling me one half marathon a year is about all I want. And it's not just my body telling me, it's my head telling me that too. I have no doubt that if I had somebody local to train with, the long runs would be so much more enjoyable and easier for me. But in any case, I'm a doubtful for the Bird in Hand, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't think about it. It's an amazing event, and so I'll probably will not be there. I'll be there in spirit with you all this year, and I'm planning on hitting it again next year. But like I said, more about the Bird in Hand later on in this episode. So enough of my training, blah, blah, blah. In this episode, you're going to get lots more interesting training updates from some lovables, some interesting life updates. And tell me, what other running podcast gives you gardening tips? Yeah, stay tuned for that. Let's get to all that good stuff. Stick around at the end. I got some stuff I want to chat with. And we'll do that right after the good stuff. Y'all enjoy your extra mile.
Well, hello, Kevin, and all you extra milers. This is JD, and I have a special guest with me today.
This is Chris from Virginia Beach.
And we are at the St. Michael's Run Fest. So, a race that has a half marathon, 10K, and a 5K. We are both doing the half marathon. It's a nice day for running. It's completely cloudy, about 50-some-odd degrees. A little bit of mist in the air, so definitely not going to overheat today. And there are no freaking hills here. I don't even know what I'm going to do. It's amazing. So, nice crowd here. Plenty of the usual stuff you'd expect before a race. So, we got an extra bonus that we got parked near the finish, which is at the Maritime Museum, which from the start is about, what, a 15-minute walk?
Yeah, about that.
About a 15-minute walk. So we were initially both a little bit upset because we were like, oh, here's the high school. Here's where we park. And they're like, no, keep going, keep going, keep going. We're like, wait a minute. Why are you parking us so far away from the start? And then, of course, they parked us at the Maritime Museum, which is where the finish and the finish party and all that stuff is going to be. And so we're walking back going, huh, this actually was much better, much closer to our car when we finish. So, very cool, very cool. So, any thoughts before we get started, Chris?
Great morning to run. Let's just see how the legs do and what kind of times we can put up.
Yep, sounds good. So, more after the race, but this is our pre-race show. See you later.
So good morning, everybody. Carlos here, running through Beau Park, running behind. Thank you. This is the Felton Trail. It takes me from Brightfoot to Lambrick Park. This used to be a creek, and then they put it underground. Basically, in the winter, it gets a little swampy around here, but not too bad. This is going to be my summer submission to the Extra Mile podcast. So hello, Kevin, and all you fellow athletes out there trying to get your extra mile of training in. Today has been an 11 kilometer run. I'm about 1 mile from home, so I guess I've done about 9.5K so far, mostly on trails. Today took me around the golf course around the 8 minute pace. The golf course is much hillier than this trail. As I say, this is basically a creek bed. I'm now running upstream slightly. So I really hope that you're all meeting your goals, your Galloway goals, if that's what your goals are. Minutes, 1 second, average pace today. As I bring it up to the top of the hill, just around here, I will say goodbye to the Extra Mile podcast group from here in sunny but windy Victoria, BC.
Hey everybody, it is Katie from Houston. Long time no talk, long time no listen. I am caught up on the latest Extra Mile podcast today on my long run. I am back in training for the Marine Corps Marathon with the bird in hand as a, I guess, a long training run towards the end of the process. Gosh, I have a lot to update you on. But I'll spare you all the details and just say everything is good. And it's been a long 6 months for 6 months of the year. But everybody is healthy and happy. And I get to spend the summer at the Jersey Shore, which may not sound exciting to many of you. But for those of you who know the magic of the Jersey Shore, yes, I'm looking forward to taking all of it in. So if you're coming to the Jersey Shore this summer, make sure to send me a note. Maybe we can get together for a run or a Gwyn or whatever you like. Cup of coffee, glass of wine. Hope all is well with everybody, and I look forward to hearing your updates soon. Enjoy your extra mile.
And now, indoor gardening tips from a man who's very scared of plants.
Well, hello, Kevin, and all you extra milers. This is Just Plan Dave calling from the capital city of Providence, Rhode Island, calling in with a gardening tip. Right, I know, as if I am qualified to tell you about your gardens. But actually, this is also a just being a good neighbor tip. So I was out for a walk with the brown dog, as I'm doing right now. But it was our lunchtime walk, and so it was hot. Today might have been the first 85-degree day of the summer. It is summery out there. And here's my gardening tip. If you like to keep your hose attached to the spigot on the side of the house, which, by the way, the plumbers call a silcock, if you keep that hose attached there, it is prudent. It would be wise. It is the smart thing to do, to turn the hose off at the house and not at the end of the hose, like if you have a nozzle on there. Because, and here's the reason I'm telling you this story, is if you have a hose, especially if it's a black hose, so it's absorbing that heat on a sunny, hot summer day, that hose might get a little flexible and might explode. And so as I was going for my midday walk with the brown dog, I saw water just spraying up all over the place next to this brand new construction house. And so the lawn hadn't even grown in. So it's creating this kind of erosion in the seeded but not growing lawn and water spraying all over the place. So I knocked on the door, said hello to a new neighbor. He was pretty darn grateful and turned off the spigot for him so that would prevent his newly seeded lawn from washing away. But the lesson to be learned is turn it off at the house. That way you're not worrying about pressure building up inside that hose. So, and the other lesson is if you see this happening in a neighbor's yard, even if you don't know the neighbor, it's fair game to help them and do the kind thing. He was very grateful. And literally he lives four houses away from me, have never met him before. And it was just a kind or courteous thing to do. So from the capital city, being neighborly while out for a dog walk, this is Just Plain Dave. Happy trails, my friends, and enjoy your extra mile.
Winston Churchill once said, "The eyes are the windows of your face." See you next time.
This has been Indoor Gardening Tips from a man who's very scared of plants.
Well, hey there, Kevin and all you extra milers. This is JD, and this is a life update. So, not a whole bunch to discuss. I just wanted to make a shout out for Kevin's show here that training is going well. We're in the middle of training now for Bird in Hand. That's really the next race that I have coming up. So hope to see as many of you as can possibly come at the beginning of September. And as I record this, it's now the 28th of June. So we're now past the longest day of the year. So while I love the end of June, July and August, or July and August are probably two of my favorite months of the year because I love the summertime. Definitely my favorite season out of the four seasons we get here. But it is a little bit sad, I suppose, that for most of it, we're losing daylight day by day until we get all the way to the end of December. So happy for the warmer weather, happy for the sun, happy for the leaves on the trees, but yeah, it would be nice if our days were getting longer, at least for a little while. But it is what it is. It's the cycle of life, right? So speaking of cycles, I'm in my training cycle right now. So we're alternating weekends between long runs and 800 repeats, or what some of you may know as Yazzo 800s. It's essentially the same workout. Time goal thing is a little different for those of you who are not familiar with the Yazzo 800s. The purpose of the Yazzos is to go ahead and pick a finish time for a marathon. So they're actually a marathon workout. So if you do, say, 4-minute 800s, well, then it's supposed to predict that you're going to do a four-hour marathon. But, of course, for customized training, half-mile repeats are for a half-marathon. So if I were training for a marathon, Chris would have me doing mile repeats. So it's kind of a little difference, even though the actual workout itself is basically the same. So, yep, between long runs and 800s on the weekend. Usual workouts during the week. We're actually getting a lovely day today. We've been getting monsoon rains all this week. So this is the tricky part with training in the summer, even though, generally speaking, the weather is much nicer than the winter around here. You do have to kind of dodge some rather heavy rains. And those heavy rains come lightning and thunder and, sorry, we don't do any running with that, so we stay inside and stay safe. Rain's one thing, but electricity and rain's a completely different issue. So, well, I think that's all I have. I'll keep this particularly short. and wish you a happy training season. If I have something interesting to say, I'll probably give Kevin another shout out to put out here, but I doubt it. It's going to be just kind of a quiet summer, training, and getting ready to do well on, what is it this year? It's September the 9th, I think, this year is when Bird in Hand is. It's whatever that first Saturday is after Labor Day. It's always when it is. So hope to see a lot of you there. Be well, be safe, and of course, enjoy your extra mile.
Hi, Kevin and the Extra Milers. It's been quite a long time since I've sent through anything, but here I am. It's Kales in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. We're right in the start of our winter and it is really freezing cold down here, but that's what winter's all about. I'm just coming back from 6 months off with injury. I injured my back and wasn't allowed to run, and so I'm just starting running again. And my aim is to run 10K at our Melbourne Marathon Festival in October this year. Hopefully my back will hold up. So far, so good, touch wood. It feels okay. Apart from that, I haven't really been doing much. I've been walking, been in the gym doing a bit of strength work, but that's about it. But just looking forward to getting back and running, you know, 5K minimum with ease, as opposed to struggling to get to 5K, like I'm sure some of you might understand. It's still a run-walk sort of thing at the moment, but I am aiming to be able to at least run 5K without the run-walk component. And it's not because I don't want to do the run-walk. It's just it's a personal thing that I want to be able to run 5K non-stop under a certain time frame. So I hope you're all well. I hope you're training hard, enjoying your summer, and while we all freeze down here, down under, take care and talk soon.
Okay, it's race time. We are moving up. So, decided to hang out with the 215 people this morning. It looked like a nice crowd. So they're doing wave starts, so. That's Corral B.
All right, it's going to be runners ready, and then the siren. You guys can walk up to that front timing map.
When B goes, just wait about
that. Runners ready.
You guys are in Cedar.
I heard that. I heard that. Here goes Corral B.
You guys are in C Corral, just hang tight.
All right, Corral B is off.
Space. If you want to go with B, you're more than welcome.
If you're in Corral C, hang tight right where you are. We'll get you started here in a minute.
All right, let's go.
All right.
You guys can walk up with me.
All righty. We are moving, so and we'll stop recording and we'll pick it up later on.
Hello, all you extra milers. This is Caroline from Atlanta, Georgia, possibly better known now as Peter's wife. Giving a race and training update. It is July 7th. I don't think I've got an update after JG. Race this year was probably the best ever, more highly attended by extra milers and whatnot. It was just so much fun. Raced well, and then didn't have another race until the Peachtree Road Race, which some of you know is the world's largest 10K. Well, I don't know if it's a world. I don't know, it's a huge 10K here in Atlanta. Done that a million times. So while I think I ran well for this year, certainly wasn't an all-time PR. But it's hot, you know, always a hot day. This year it was very overcast. In fact, at the end, my 17-year-old daughter ran it as well. She's not really a runner, but wanted to have something to train for. And she was in a later wave than I was and didn't want to run with me. Gotta love 17-year-olds. And so she likes to do her own thing, which I can respect. So she finished much later, and I hung out with some friends at the end. And right as we were, you know, met up with my daughter and we were leaving, the sky opened and it started pouring, and we started getting notifications that Peachtree Road Race was canceled. So the folks at the, you know, in the last waves, and, or, you know, I guess slower walkers or whatever, had to clear the area. So that was terrible. But all the way through, I think wave S, maybe even a little later, we're able to make it. But it was a lot of fun, a whole lot of fun. Now I am just training. Oh, hello, kitty. Training. I just finished a 10 miler. Training for Bird in Hand. I think I'll be increasing my mileage soon. I need to renew my customized, see what that has in store for me. And I cannot wait to see a whole bunch of you at Bird in Hand this year. Again, that is a very, very fun one. If this comes out before Bird in Hand, sign up if you haven't already. Super fun, and I hope to see you there. This is Caroline from Atlanta.
Hey Kevin and all my extra miler friends, this is Titanium Tim from Signal Mountain with a race and training update. Today is July 5th. Yesterday I ran the Peachtree Road Race 10K for the 36th time, and it was a good day to run. The weather cooperated at least up through when I was finished and got back to the hotel. The the race starts at 7. We volunteer, hold the rope for the start of the first wave, and then we go off with the run. So right, we start at 5 seconds after the seated and elite runners and all of them go off. So like being up front, we get done early and get in and out of Piedmont Park pretty quickly. Said the weather is about 70, very humid, much different than last year where it was probably 5 or 6 degrees warmer and it was a lot more humid. There were 50,000 runners. Looking at results, it looked like there were actually 37,000 that ran the race. So there were probably a bunch of virtual people in there doing it now. So, seen some changes. Last year was the first year of having everybody in person on the same day after COVID. And the last 2 years from prior to COVID, big changes are there aren't as many people supporting the race, standing on side, cheering spectators, and there aren't as many water stops. So, track club, I don't know if they're having trouble getting volunteers or what. But they probably figure out how many people are running, so they know how much water to put out. But there are fewer water stops on the course, but just a little bit longer between them and not on both sides of the road, as they used to be prior to COVID. But anyway, you know, the race is fantastic. And this was the 54th running of it. So we, my dad, son, daughter, and son-in-law all ran this year. And they all did well. We finished up. We meet back at the hotel and have a picture made. But the we're really waiting for next year. We'll all be running again. Plus my daughter's son, who turns 10 next year, will be able to run it. So
then there'll be four generations of Clearys out there running the race. So we're looking forward to that. You know, pretty neat to have, you know, to run with your dad or your children, but now to run with your dad and grandchildren, it's going to be really neat. So we're looking forward to it, but that one's in the books, and start training for next year. But from a training standpoint, I've got Berlin Marathon on September 24th, so I'm 4 weeks into a training plan for that. This weekend is a long run of 16. Training plan, I think, is really a modified Higdon plan for intermediate level. So, but I've done Berlin before. It is just a phenomenal race, as all the world majors are. And plus Berlin's a really fascinating town to see and to sightsee. So we're looking forward to heading over there and spending a week in Europe. So that is a big training plan. And after that, I've got 3 weeks after Berlin, got the Chattanooga Marathon. It's called Seven Bridges. And then 3 weeks after that is New York. And you may say, why are you doing three fulls in 6 weeks? Well, last year, my big toe was crushed on September 1st, and I had to defer Chattanooga and New York. So it's just the way it lines up this year. My daughter's going to run Chattanooga and New York with me. So anyway, I got a lot of training to do this fall. I don't know if I'm going to do any races between now and Berlin. I probably will, but we'll just don't know yet. But anyway, that's a race and training update. I know I ran a little long. I hope everybody's doing well and being careful in this summer heat. So I'll keep you updated. Cheers.
Well, hello, Kevin, and all you extra milers. This is Just Plain Dave calling in from the capital city of Providence, Rhode Island, calling in with a race report. Yesterday, I ran the Manchester to Monadnock Ultra Marathon. We call it the M2M. It is a 52-mile, mostly paved, but pretty hard trail race that starts in Manchester. You have about 4 miles of the flattest, smoothest, easiest bike path, like gravel, groomed gravel trail, 4 miles, and then 48 miles of continuous up and down. There's no flat along the whole way. The race director has found a route that covers every little hill and mountain across southern New Hampshire. So Unkanunik is one name that I had to practice 100 times to be able to say out loud. That's like a little 1,000-foot. What the guy who was the volunteer at the top, he's like, oh, this isn't a mountain. This is just a burp along the route. Anyway, so that's about 1,000 foot of elevation there. That hits you at mile 11. And then all along the way, you're going over roads called Windmill Hill Road or Meeting House Hill Road or Get Your Butt Across New Hampshire Hill Road. Every hill we had to cross. And these are pretty substantial ups and downs. So this is like maybe the most elite runners, and I have no idea how the fast people did. Because I tag teamed with a friend of mine from Run Club named Brian, and we ran the whole thing together. We stayed together the whole way. Another friend, Amanda, who is a friend because I met her at mile 20, and then we ran with her the whole rest of the way, and it was just a glorious day. Like, it was just one of those, a beautiful day to have an adventure among friends. And a few times, and Brian is a really experienced marathoner. Like, he's doing the 50 States marathons, and he's like, he's run over 50 marathons, and he's hit, I think, 30-something of the states. And he's one of those guys who just throws down a 350 marathon, like, every weekend. So we're cruising along, and he's like, this doesn't feel like a race. And I said, well, that's because we're not racing. Like, we're going together, and we're having fun, and we're talking and stopping for pictures, of course. Well, I stopped for pictures. I became the group photographer. And it was just absolutely wonderful. It was a great way to spend a day. My quads are really and truly trashed. So much up and down. And like we'd come into this little village, and of course the villages are all built by the streams, and the streams are all in the bottoms of the valleys. And so you've been climbing up the hill road, and then you kind of descend, and you're just trying to trot along at a comfortable pace, but not go so fast that you're going to fall and get hurt or injure yourself. And so the hills are really, really beat you up. But it was just great fun. And then the whole race finishes. You're at about mile 45, plus or minus. And you're at the north side of Mount Monadnock at what's called the Pumpelly Trailhead. And I had never gone up the Pumpelly Trail. I've climbed this mountain more than 20 times. But I'm very familiar with kind of the south face of the mountain and the kind of southeast and south face of the mountain. And I assumed, because the Pumpelly Trailhead was like almost 5 miles from the trailhead to the summit, that it would be very gradual, like much, much, I'll say, quote, easier. Oh my gosh, it was so technical. So many places where you had to be scrambling along. And at one point we were, and of course, even though you're going up, you kind of have to go up and down over these kind of really vertical rocks. And at one point we came across this pass with a Boy Scout troop. And this little kid is coming up this rock face. And if I have to estimate, he's 7 or 8 years old. He's coming up this rock face and he looks at me. He goes, "My name is Robbie." And I'm like, "Robbie, you are doing great. You're a rock star." He says, "You know, it's okay if you use your hands." Because, you know, he's totally climbing the rocks like it's a ladder. Like it's literally all four, like hands and feet touching the rock. It was really tough climbing. And same for us. Like we were, even though we were grown up size and not 7 years old, we were like, yep, we're using our hands and feet. And so for the rest, that was probably one third of our way up the Pumpelly Trail. So the whole thing took me over 13 hours. The last almost 4 hours, 3.5 hours, was crossing Mount Monadnock because it was such a technical trail and because we were staying together as a group. And so I think I was the most experienced mountain climber in the group. And so I would kind of like power up a little ways and then stop and rest and wait and take some pictures. And so I could have gone faster, but I realized that, you know, me racing on ahead after 50 miles with friends, racing on ahead just to finish faster rather than finish with the group. That wasn't what I wanted. That wasn't exactly what I was there for that day. And so we finished probably in the last 10%. Maybe. I don't know. If there were 65 runners, I don't know how many finished, but there were probably fewer than 10 that were behind us. So we were definitely in the slower end of the cycle. And that's okay. It was just a fun day to be out and to push our limits. One guy in our group, Cameron, it was his first ultra marathon. Amanda had previously done some long runs, including the Ghost Train 100 miler in New Hampshire. But that is a 6 mile out and back on a flat, flat, flat rail trail. And she said, even though it took half as long, the Manchester to Monadnock 52 miler was by far harder than completing the 100 miler on a flat rail trail. And then my friend Brian, his personal record distance is like in the low 70s. Like I think he's run 72 miles at an ultra. But same thing. He was saying this was one of the harder things you can do. You know, you finish a race, we're in the car heading back, and you finish a race and everyone, you think in some situations people are like, "Oh, are you going to do it next year?" And both Brian and I looked at each other and I'm like, "No, I think I'm really glad I did it. I'm really glad I can say that I did it, but I don't need to go back and go faster next year. Like, it's not like I have a desire to have a faster personal best at the M2M. Anyway, oh, and it was sunny and dry and crystal clear. It was a beautiful day for photographs. It was breezy, which is nice. So that meant our sweat evaporated. But the temperature got up into the mid-70s, like 74, 76 degrees. And for this corner of the world, we have not had very many days that warm around here. So I had definitely done no training to prep for the heat, which was a slight disadvantage. But what are you going to do? You take what the day gives you. Anyway, I'll just repeat it. Last thing, glorious day. So fun to run with friends. So fun to hang out. And then the real ultra highlight was that my daughter was there at the finish line to pick us up and help with shuttling cars. And she's 21 years old and finished her junior year of college. And I don't get to spend enough time with her. And it was just nice to have that extra time, to have her be there in support mode for me. And this was not a race where you can have crew along the way. That's not an easy thing to do. So just having her there at the finish line was really, really wonderful and good for my soul. So, forgive me if this is a long one, but so was the race. I wish you well. Enjoy your summers. I hope you all have big, big, audacious goals. And I can't wait to hear about them. So, from the capital city, this is Just Plain Dave. Happy trails, my friends, and enjoy your extra mile.
Hey, Kevin, and all you extra milers. This is Chris.
And JD. Guess where we are?
We're not in Ohio.
Do you want to know the top 11 things that I do not like about Virginia Beach? That's what we're talking about today, and we're starting right now.
Actually, we're in St. Michael's, Maryland, after finishing the St. Michael's, Maryland half marathon. What did you think, Chris?
It was a really well-run race. Would have liked to run along the water a little bit more, like the pictures showed.
Like we are right now. This is beautiful right here.
Yeah.
But, oh well.
Yeah. Very flat course, which is nice.
Yes. Very, very flat course. So if you need some place to run that's flat, this is flat. Although it was funny, we had a couple of streets that were named Mount something or other. I'm not sure why, because there was no elevation change. Although on the way back, did you see this one? There was Mount Misery.
Yeah, there was also Mount Pleasant.
Yeah.
Which, nice little juxtaposition there.
I took a picture of Mount Misery on the way back, and I'm like, oh, that's awesome. But, so how'd you do?
Did well. Came in and beat my goal, so that's always a good thing.
That's good. Yep. And I beat my goal, and I also did not embarrass myself on the course. I was having a little bit of intestinal issues, so I had to kind of slow it down a bit, so I didn't leave anything on the course, if you know what I mean. So, and now that you're all completely grossed out, let's go wash your hands.
I mean, is it a podcast if we don't talk about poo?
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, that's right. It's not a real submission if we haven't talked about poo. So now it's a real submission. There you go. Darn it.
Oh, my.
So,
beautiful day to run.
Yep.
Nice course.
Yep. Yep. Definitely would recommend it here. I would tell you, though, if you're going to come here, plan to stay here, all right? This is rather remote, so, you know, and I mean, the harbor here, this is very, very nice. We're at the Maritime Museum for the after party, and I kind of wish I didn't have to drive 2.5 hours home and hop on a tractor and mow my lawn, but that's what I have to do.
Yeah, and I got to drive 4 hours home. So
So yeah, if you're gonna come, it's a very cute little town. Plan on staying here. Don't do what we're doing and dart in, run, and dart back out. There is some stuff to see, and there's stuff here if you're not a runner. If you're a shopper, there are plenty of things to spend your money on here. So
yeah, very nice little downtown area.
Nice for everything. So anyway, that's what I got. You got anything else?
That's all I got.
Alrighty. Well, then I guess we will wrap this up here. So, from beautiful downtown Harborside, St. Michael's, Maryland.
Not Ohio.
Definitely not Ohio. This is JD.
And Chris.
Saying, enjoy your extra mile.
All right, hello, you extra milers. How are we doing? This is Chris, your old friend. I feel like we're all old friends right now, huh? Yeah. It's funny how we all started doing this like almost 15, 20 years ago, right? Nigel, Marathon Chris, Steve, Kevin, all the old timers. Hard to believe. 15, 20 years ago. We started with the emergence of these social platforms like podcasting. And a lot of changes. A lot of changes in 20 years in the life of a runner, right? And I have, like I said, kind of dropped off the map from running podcasting, so I figured I owed you an update. And I wanted to pick a little bit at this aging runner theme because, believe it or not, we're all going to get old. Not just Kevin. Not just me. And I look back over these 15, 20 years and I wonder whether I should feel like this joy of accomplishing so much or sort of an anxiety, a creeping anxiety that those accomplishments may be in the rearview mirror, right? Out of reach now. And I don't know, but it's a weird mix of emotions. The backstory here over the last couple of years is that a couple of years ago in the spring, I was doing my training for the Boston Marathon, and it was going to be my 19th or 20th Boston. I was doing hill repeats on my familiar hill, and suddenly I had a bright new pain in my left knee. So I went through all that classic runner's cycle of doctors and blah, 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 blah. And we all know the story. I limped through a few more races. I took a lot of time off. I gained weight. I lost fitness. I wallowed in the depression of it. You know, classic runner stuff. Because I'm here to tell you, folks, if you're a runner, and I don't care if you're a top 10 athlete at the Olympic trials or a 16-minute-a-mile Galloway athlete, I don't care. It makes no difference. But once that habit of running is in you, it leaves a big, big hole when somebody tears it out, like an injury. Somebody or something, I guess. But because the biggest horror any of we runners have is not being able to run, right? The world becomes a small, greasy, horror-filled place when that is taken away. Am I right? Yeah, you know I'm right. But as hard as it is, we need to understand that these injuries are in some ways a message from the universe. They're a gift. They teach us to appreciate what we have or had and all the gifts that this sport has given us over those years, right? So take a second right now and do that. I'll wait. Say thank you. Thank you to running for keeping you fit, keeping you sharp, keeping you healthy. Say thank you for all the joy. I'll wait.
Thank you.
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 Okay. Anyhow.
Thank you.
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 Here's the thing about injuries. You won't get over them until you kind of give up, right? Kind of let go. You got to let go. It's a grasping thing. It's like a 12-step program. You need to hit bottom. And everyone's bottom is different. And in general, runners have nice bottoms. Sorry, I couldn't resist. So it is then when you hit that bottom that you can start back fresh into a new relationship with your old friend running. And in that way, it's in acceptance and lack of expectations that you can rediscover that joy. And certainly that's sort of the cycle that I've been going through here as an older athlete. So over the last year or so, I have been running. I have. Yes, I have been poking around at the edges. I started from scratch, poking around, scratching at the edges of my gift to see where the limits are. And I have been rebuilding my base miles very successfully. I'm back up to running about 3 days a week. That's what I can get away with, about 3 days a week, 7 to 10 miles at a clip. And I run on the rail trail mostly to keep the pressure off my knee. And I do get out into the trails as well, but I try to do it carefully and in a measured way. I ride my bike too. I walk every day. I do strength workouts, all that stuff. I'm doing something every day. And I've even started to do a little light tempo work in some of these workouts. And this this has been great because this running, you can do anything else, but this running is what helps you keep the weight off and feel good about yourself. Anyhow, that's it. That's the way it is for me. I mean, it's such a joy to have it back again. And of course, I have a dog, a border collie named Ollie, and he's 4 years old now, and he runs with me, and we've learned how to run together. We're still learning how to run together. And if you want to know about the joy of unencumbered running, get a dog. I'm very slow for me in this comeback, pace-wise, but it feels respectful. It feels worthy for an athlete of my vintage. And if the knee starts to hurt, you know what I do? I stop. If something feels off, I stop. And I'm trying really hard not to be the athlete I was who threw himself at every workout and beat himself into a forged weapon for every race. That was good to have. Those are really good memories. That kind of commitment was beautifully validating as a form of suffering. But I'm not that guy anymore, and my relationship really had to change, right? Needed to change in order to be sustainable. I guess you could say there's really two ways to be happy, right? One is first to work really hard on achieving those things or earning those things that bring happiness into your life. But the second, more sanguine, is to be happy with what you have, which is an art form, a meditative art form. You know, I get out there and I run. It takes a good 20 minutes for me to warm up and for my heart rate to settle in. I can see it in the Garmin. But I tell you, the joy's still there, right? The joy still peeks out from behind its curtain when I feel the strength in my lungs and my legs and when I push the pace just a little bit harder to close out a long run, enervated, wet, happy. The gift is still there. So I'm training. I am training for a marathon. My goal is to get to the starting line without injury and to run that race in a respectful way. And that race is the 2023 Marine Corps Marathon, October 29th. I'm running it for a worthy charity, for a friend. And the charity is called Burgers and Bands, and its aim is to prevent teen suicide. I'll include the donation link here if you want. Would love some support. And I have, for the most part, stopped putting out the Run, Run, Live podcast. It just wasn't serving me anymore. I have redirected my creative energies, however, to a new podcast that I started during COVID called After the Apocalypse. It's a post-apocalyptic audio drama, and I'm about to start season 4. Yeah, season 4. And so here's a running tie-in with my new podcast that may make you want to listen to it, may make your heart get all aflutter. In between seasons of my Apocalypse podcast, I do different things to keep people's attention. And this summer, I invited listeners to submit their own stories, and I have them read into audio. And the next episode, I have a story that is being read into audio by our very own Steve Runner. And I was thrilled. I mean, it was so great to hear his voice and to get him to lend his unique rendition to this story. So come listen to that. The story is called Camping Calls, and it should drop at the end of July 2023. So here we are. I find myself within spitting distance of retiring from the workforce, and I've entered an interesting phase of my life. And I ruminate, right? I ruminate still. I admit I still ruminate. Will I be able to run another Boston Marathon, huh? I don't know. Could I run another ultra? Do I want to? I don't know. But I do know that these are things that we choose to do, right? They're not things we have to do. And my advice to you is to be thankful for what you have. Be thankful for your gift. Embrace it. And certainly wring the juice from it, for sure. But never lose that gratitude. Because every day you lace up your shoes and close that squeaky screen door and step forward into a run, that's a singular gift. So remember to breathe it in and feel the joy. And we will talk to you soon. This is Chris, signing out.
Well, greetings, Kevin, and all you extra milers. This is Chris from Virginia Beach. and this is the beginning of a weekend race report. I am currently driving to St. Michael's, Maryland. I'm somewhere in the middle of nowhere on the eastern shore of Virginia right now. I'm about 2.5 hours away from St. Michael's, where I will pick up my packet for tomorrow's St. Michael's Running Festival Half Marathon, where I will be meeting up with another lovable extra miler, but more on that later. Anyway, hoping to have a wonderful race tomorrow. Looks like it's going to be overcast and about 60 degrees. We've got rain in the forecast, but not during race time, so that's a good thing. Looking forward to a wonderful day out there on the course. And of course, hanging out with a good friend. So I just thought I would check in from the road, and more to come. And I'm back, extra milers, and still in the car. However, it's not Friday anymore. It's now 5:30 on Saturday morning. Just pulled out from the hotel and
stay in the second lane from left.
Heading to the race start. Race starts at 7:10. They want us to be there by 6.
Go past this light. Then at the next one, take a sharp left turn.
Sorry, that's my GPS, obviously. But one way into town, one way out of town.
Use the left lane to take a sharp left turn onto Maryland 322.
And she talks a whole lot. But on the way to the race, looking forward to it, feeling good, got a good night's sleep. And check in again from the start area. All right, it's Chris, and I'm back with a race report. Depending on the order of submissions on this podcast, you may have already heard a little bit from JD and myself as we were having a little fun getting into some shenanigans post-race. But now I am not even in St. Michael's. I'm back in Virginia on my way home, probably about 30 minutes away from crossing the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel, which if you've ever crossed that monstrosity, you'll know that that is nothing but an engineering feat designed to test the nerves of all drivers. And on top of that, you get to pay for the privilege. But enough about that. So let's talk about the race. Went into the today knowing that, you know, JD kind of had his goal. I had my goal. And come to find out, they weren't terribly far apart. He was shooting for around 215. I was hoping to get under 220 if the day allowed it. We kind of started out together. We figured we'd find the 215 pace group. My plan was I'd hang with that in that ballpark of that group as long as I could. And I figured eventually I would probably fall off behind them a little bit. But JD and I both, had kind of decided that we'd stick together, but if it got to a point where one of us needed to do our own thing, we'd do our own thing, and no big deal. We'd see each other at the finish and hopefully not too far apart. So I used 90-30, and we got rolling, and legs felt really good, really strong. Those first couple miles, we were clicking in like right at 10-minute miles, which is a little bit quicker than I necessarily wanted to be, but I didn't necessarily at the time, I didn't feel like I was overexerting. But those are famous last words too. I also knew I wanted to go into this race and just see what my body would do with my current fitness level. So if it would allow me to go that pace, then we'd go that pace and we'd see what happened. But I really wanted to empty the gas tank on the course. So stayed on pace for probably about a 212 to 214 finish, somewhere in there, through about 8 or 9 miles. By mile 10, had probably dropped to 215 or 216. And that's mile 10 is really when I started feeling the fatigue from the race. Managed to keep the 90-30 up through mile 11. And then I felt things starting to get away from me a little bit, but also knew that getting under 220 was still, barring a major event, going to happen. So I pulled back to 60-30 for the last 2 miles and was able to cross the line upright, which is always good, with a finish time of 2:18:29. So I got in under 2:20. And looking back over my now 11 half marathons, this was actually my third fastest ever. I've gone under 2:10 twice, but that was 6 years ago on both counts, and hadn't run a single half marathon in between 2:10 and 2:20. Everything else was 2:20 and above. So felt great to get a 2:18:29. Definitely know that I left it on the tank, because coming through the finish chute, once I got to my walk to get grab my drink and snacks and get my medal, I was, I'll be honest, I was a little wobbly. If you saw the video that JD put on the Extra Mile page post-race, where I was sitting down, there was a reason I was sitting down, and that was it. Needed to kind of recover. But anyway, the St. Michael's half marathon is in the books. Really fun race. The advertising's a little misleading in that you think you're going to be running along the water for a good bit of the race, and you really almost never run along the water. And when you are close to the water, it's kind of at a slight distance. But still ran through some beautiful neighborhoods, a little bit of the little downtown there in St. Michael's, which has a very charming, like, old-school downtown, historic kind of feel to it. So I would recommend this race. And like JD said in his submission, whether you've heard his first or not, if you're going to come do this race, make a weekend out of it. Don't fly into town the day before the race like JD and I did, and then turn around and leave right after the race. Because there's looks like there's some cool little stuff to do. You know, bring the family and make a weekend out of it, because it's a nice little town. But the St. Michael's half is in the books. It was a good day running, and I'm a little less than 2 hours away from home now. So we will chat later on. That's it for this race report, and I hope that you all are doing well, staying healthy, and of course, enjoying your extra mile. See ya.
Trey Jones has had in this game.
And again, make or miss here, can Carolina get the ball to Anthony, the guy they want to have it, to try to race it down the court.
And Goldmeyer right with them right now.
A miss, a tap. Jones, tipped, yes! Wendell Moore puts it home for Duke.
Well, there you go, episode 214 of the Extra Mile Podcast. Good stuff, huh? Recently on Facebook, I put out a plea asking for submissions from lurkers, folks who have never sent updates, or folks who haven't sent one for quite some time. And the results were less than I had hoped for. I did hear from some folks whose pictures have been on milk cartons lately. First, there was Caroline. I haven't heard from Caroline in quite some time. And what I'd like to say about her submission is that I have set up a GoFundMe campaign so that we could buy Caroline a new headset microphone combination. Who else did we hear from? Katie. Welcome back, Katie. It's been a while. Katie is spending, I think she said, the entire summer at the Jersey Shore. Boy, that shore is just so underrated. And I love the Jersey Shore. I feel like I was robbed this year because we had terrible weather. I mean, it literally rained every single day, and I'm not exaggerating. of the entire week, actually 5 days. I think we spent about 3 hours one afternoon on the beach in the sun, and other than that, it was overcast, raining, and gale force winds. So anyway, you can't beat Mother Nature. She is getting so much activity in at the shore. Katie and I are, what do you call it, friends on Apple Watch? Hi. I think, I don't know if we follow each other or we're friends or whatever, but I can tell, I get a little notification when she finishes an activity on her Apple Watch, and there are multiple activities every single day. There's multiple walks, there's at least a run there, there are bike rides. It sounds like she's having a little bit better time at the Jersey Shore than I did. So, anyway, if any of you have an Apple Watch and care to follow each other, send me an email. Be happy to send you an invite. Kales, welcome back to Kales. She's down in Australia struggling with winter. And thanks for your submission. And all I can say about your winter, take your time with your winter before you send it back to us. We're good here. Tim Clearly, my buddy from Signal Mountain, the 36th peach tree. That is just simply amazing. And I've done peach tree, I want to say 3 times, but it was years ago, and boy, is it ever fun. And I get the sense, at least since COVID, that it is easier to get into these days than it used to be. It is a huge race. They lost some folks during COVID and are building back up, but I don't think, to hear Jeff talk, I don't think they're back where they were before COVID. So it's probably a lot easier. I would recommend you put that one in your bucket list and just go for the fun. Don't go for any sort of time. And what the heck, do what Tim does and take your family down there. There's nothing better than running with family. And if you ever get into a race with your family, don't be in a hurry. You owe it to yourself to enjoy every single second. Mr. Chris Russell is back running. I was happy to hear that. That was not news to me. Chris and I are buddies on Facebook and texting and emails and all that good stuff. But it was a little bit news to me when I saw on his Facebook page recently that he's training for the Marine Corps Marathon. And as amazing runners do, they don't just run these things, but they do it for a great cause. Chris's cause is the Burgers and Bands for Suicide Prevention site. So I will put, it's a rather long link, I will put a link to that page in the show notes. And I would ask you to please get over there, check it out. And if you've got any extra coins in the cushions, send them to Chris for his great cause. Also, I'll put a link to his other great podcast, the After the Apocalypse podcast. I think you'll be surprised after Chris mentioned all those folks of all of us who have been around for a long, long time. And, you know, even today, whether you've been around for a long time or you're just starting one, there's not much you need. And none of us are very professional, but I think you will be pleasantly surprised with the professionalism of the After the Apocalypse podcast. There's no way you would have ever guessed that some nut job from the New England area was responsible for writing, producing, and putting that thing together. Give it a shot, huh? Check the show notes out for the link for that. And let's see, I do have a special comment from the editor of this podcast. So I kind of like to introduce the guy who's been editing this podcast since the day it came out, what, I don't know, 17 years ago or whatever. His name's Kevin, and he would like to say a couple of things. Kevin, take it away. Thanks, Kevin. Like Kevin said, I am Kevin, and I am the editor of the Extra Mile podcast. And so with with my tongue firmly in my cheek, I edited this podcast with lots of friendly poking at some good friends. And those of you who hear some of that and have no idea what's going on, I would just say that it was just me, the editor, having some fun. And that if any of the editing was aimed at you, it was, like I said, tongue in cheek. And it's only because I love you. And with that in mind, I would remind all of you that the podcast editor's motto is the editor always gets the last word. So anyway, that's all I got to say. I'll turn it back over to your host, Kevin. Okay, thanks for that, Kevin. Lastly, there's been a lot of chatter that have started and starting to get rather loud about the Bird in Hand Extra Mile Podcast Meetup this September. The race itself is on Saturday, September the 9th, and the festivities begin on that Friday. And as you will hear here in a second, there are some big plans and events in the works. So I wanted to turn this over to the Extra Mile Podcast Bird in Hand Chairman, Nate Wagner.
Hey, Kevin and all you extra milers. It's Nate from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania on a walk. Hope you guys are and gals are having a great day whenever you're listening to this. And I wanted to encourage you to sign up for and participate in the Bird in Hand weekend. It's coming very quickly, and I would love to see as many of you as possible. It has been something that I've been a part of for many years. I know back towards the beginning is when of my involvement at Bird in Hand is when I met Dwayne, and then it increased to meeting Shelly, and then JD and Anthony, and then many, many of you came these last couple years to Bird in Hand. And this will be my 9th run of this race. So either I'm crazy, which that would be true. Yes, yes I am. Just ask my wife and my kids. But I love this race, and it has become the second largest extra mile podcast customized training get together in the bustling metropolis of Bird in Hand. And you know, that's pretty funny because it's very small. Anyway, I would love to see as many of you as possible this year. And I wanted to extend an invite from me to you. Email me at natewagner08@gmail.com to let me know that you would like to join us. And then also let me know if you would like to participate in the pasta dinner. You'll need to sign up for that separately. When you sign up for the race, please go ahead and sign up for the pasta dinner. That made the get together for Friday night much easier and much less work for us worker bees trying to make this event happen. And then also I would love to know if you are interested in joining us Saturday afternoon after the race. There is a wonderful barbecue family celebration with the community right after the race. And then at 3:00, we will be meeting, and I'm gonna make sure this happens, the same place as we did last year. It's Loxley's. It's a restaurant and a very cute little place that we were really able to connect with each other last year. And so we're gonna do the same thing, 3 to 5. Still need to organize that, but let me know you're interested. Again, Nate Wagner, NateWagner, the number 08@gmail.com. Give me your cell phone number if that's okay. and then how many people you plan on having with you. It will be wonderful to see many of you again, and I just am so excited to be a part of that. So be there, be square. Can't wait to see you. Again, Nate from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Just giving a little update. My training is going wonderful, and I'm really enjoying the customized. And as you know, I was a customized before there was customized. And I'm super excited about the upgrades with that that Kevin and Chris and Jeff mentioned on the Extra Mile Podcast Galloway Edition. Well, you guys go out there, get your runs in, and can't wait to see you in just a few months at Bird in Hand in September. Take care. Enjoy your extra mile.
Thanks for that, Nate. Nate did an amazing job putting together the events last year. And you know what they say, no good deed goes unpunished. So Nate is the chairman again this year. Nate's email, for those of you who didn't catch it, is Nate Wagner, NateWagner08 at gmail.com. Shoot him a note and tell him you're going to be joining this year. And let him know if you can make the Saturday afternoon dinner. That is not to be missed. And neither is the pasta dinner after the race on Saturday. So make sure you sign up for that as well. And typically we'll all grab an area within the huge tent that they put up, and we'll all sit together and as they say, shoot the crap. So make sure to RSVP. NateWagner08@gmail.com. And that's all I got. Thank you so much for the download. Thanks for everyone who submitted. I'm still looking for lurkers, please. And what the heck, there could be a squish band in it for any of the new, brand new folks who we've never heard from before. Thank you for your 5-star ratings wherever you download this podcast. That really does help. And like I said before, it's hot and it is squish band weather. So check out Squish Bands at squishbands.com. squooshbands.com. Check out the show notes for everything we chatted about today, as well as our own swag page. And that can be found at theextramilepodcast.com. And until the next time, you all enjoy your extra mile.
Thanks for joining us on the Extra Mile Podcast. Please visit our website at www.theextramilepodcast.com to see the show notes for this episode of the podcast. You can email us with your feedback about the show at theextramilepodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to send us your audio comments to let us know how your training is going, then please send an audio file to theextramilepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks very much for downloading the show, and we look forward to joining you again soon on the next edition of the Extra Mile Podcast.